Please be seated. A warm welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church on this very typical fall Sunday. And it's going to get even more typical of fall because it's supposed to rain most of the week. So that'll be good to make things grow, I guess. I'm very proud to say, very happy to say, that we set a goal of $5,000 to support Indwell in our fall outreach. I'm happy to say that we are just about $6,000 of that $5,000 target. So, chatted with the wardens this morning. What we're doing is furnishing apartments for the new Indwell, the third that they're doing in town, which is just getting started and is a couple of years away. But they have the land now, the old South Street Hospital area, and there are five or six groups working all on affordable housing. So, $2,500 will do an apartment, so we're going to try and furnish two apartments. So we thought maybe, seeing as we've gone this far, why don't we try for three? So we are going to extend the campaign until the end of October. Now that we are almost halfway through to that third one, we'll extend it. So anybody that might like to support the Indwell understanding, which to me is the perfect long-term solution towards what we do about the homeless crisis in our city and our country. So if you'd like to support, all you have to do is make a donation, make the check to St. James Westminster, write Indwell on the subject line, and we'll make sure that it gets to Indwell. So we're continuing to try and help out. That's all the announcements that I have this morning. Hannah is preaching and celebrating this morning, so I'll leave you in her capable hands. Moment of silence, silent prayer, and then we'll begin to worship.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, increase in us your gift of faith, that forsaking what lies behind and reaching out to what is before, we may run the way of your commandments and win the crown of everlasting joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Now I invite you to listen to the first reading.
A reading from the book of 2 Timothy. As for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away into myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus told his disciples a parable about their need to pray always and to not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Just before I get started in my sermon, I just wanted to welcome Ralph here as our musician this morning. Steve Hollowitz had an opportunity to go to Thunder Bay to play with the symphony orchestra, so thank you so much for being here this morning to provide us with some music. Well, I thought to myself, as I was trying to write this sermon, isn't Luke great? And if you did not catch that, that was sarcasm. What I really felt like was, geez, Luke, this is again with something complicated and hard, but what do I do with this? I'll tell you, my first instinct was just to be quite enamored with the widow in the story, to be honest. She is my favorite part. A woman after my own heart. I love a good pestering person, someone who will needle the side of authority until they bow to the pressure of the people. It's like this chant that we used to yell when I was an undergrad who spent a lot of time at protests. There ain't no power like the power of people, because the power of people don't stop. And that seems to be the moral here, doesn't it? That the widow wins in the end. She gets justice out of the judge, even though he doesn't really care all that much. And really, don't we see that in our world? I mean, this could have been a story on Facebook or something that somebody told you around the dinner table. I am the victim of an injustice and I needed help. And when I went to the authorities in place, they didn't care. They weren't interested in somebody as unimportant as me. So they didn't listen. But I persisted and persisted. And I persisted, and finally, out of exasperation, they accepted what I was saying, and I got justice. It's a feel-good story, isn't it? The power of persistence. The more I thought about it, is it really that heartwarming a story? Wouldn't it be much better if the judge just cared? Or was God-fearing and had some sense of morality? If he worried about the plight of widows and other vulnerable people? Yes, my little socialist activist heart proclaimed, yes, it would be better. This story is terrible, Jesus. What is the point of it all? I asked that question with two question marks because it's that important. But maybe, just maybe, I was being too hasty. Maybe I wasn't really seeing what I was supposed to be seeing. Because I don't think that this story is supposed to be about how poor and vulnerable people need to be as pushy and determined as someone waiting in the customer service return line to get a refund on their malfunctioning blender. I think it's a story about the nature of justice. See, Jesus tells us that the judge, even though he doesn't care that much about God or even this lady, he gets worn down by her. He just wants her to stop bothering him. He hasn't had a change of heart, per se, but he recognizes that this will become a bigger problem if he doesn't give her satisfaction. And unfortunately, that's often the nature of justice in our world. That's the nature of how society changes, not because the hard-hearted upper echelon are transformed in the presence of noble poverty and the striving of the marginalized, but because they realize it's probably going to become a giant PR nightmare and that these people are just not going to give up and go away. The wheels of justice turn slowly, but they often turn as much as they do because some people are just willing to stand up for what is right. And I think that's kind of what Jesus is getting at. Human justice will always be flawed, because we are flawed. It will be shaped by the subjectivity and prejudices of those in power. It will be molded by the perceptions of the governing body. It will be formed by the society in which it exists, for good and for bad. It will never be perfect, and so it must constantly be challenged. God's justice, however, Jesus tells us, will always come. It will rain down on those who thirst for it. There is no doubt of it. He hears our cries, and he is always faithful, not out of annoyance, but love. God's justice is enacted, and this justice is unlike anything we can imagine because it upends our sense of rightness. It offends our sense of morality with its wideness and its wildness. It breaks down the barriers we build with abundant grace poured out on the undeserving, which, even if you may not think that's you, it's all of us. God will always be faithful, Jesus says. But then he finishes with this: will we? Jesus asks, will there be faith when the Son of Man comes? That's what he's getting at. Will we be faithful to this call to justice? Will we be persistent in our drive towards righteousness, that even when the powers that be do not seem to care about what is right and what is good, will we be the thorn in their side, picking at them until they act with integrity? Will we all strive to be so tenacious in the face of insurmountable odds? Will we strive for that justice, even if it's not for ourselves? Because that's what this Christian calling is all about. The world is going to make it very easy to ignore the widows and the orphans, the poor and the hungry, the sick and the marginalized. But we must be better than that. We are made to be better than that. Justice can be a tricky thing. That's often the case. When we get these huge theological concepts in our little human hands, they often become rife with issues. And yet we have this parable that tells us the nature of justice is this: we will always make it as small as we can, but in God's hands, even the smallest things can move mountains. Amen. I invite you to stand. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say: I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now I'll invite you into a position of prayer, either standing, sitting, or kneeling.
Knowing that God hears our prayers, let us share our concerns with him for the church and for the world. Lord, we pray for all in lay and ordained ministry as they labor for the growth of your kingdom on earth. Keep them strong in the faith. Provide them with energy and resources they need, and inspire them daily with your love. Lord, you are our hope. You are our strength. We pray for all meetings, convention, and conferences, for all policy making and planning. May delegate negotiations be sensitively led, and painful decisions bravely and wisely taken. Lord, you are our hope, you are our strength. We pray for those we have upset or angered, and those who have upset or angered us. We pray for those who worry us, and those we love, but seldom manage to see. Lord, you are our hope, you are our strength. We pray for those who are far from home, and for those for whom it is too dangerous to return home. We pray for those who are lonely, the unhappy, those in pain, and those convalescing. In our own parish, we pray for Dan Lemansky, Peter Giampa, Bev Wethy, Sylvia Brightwell, David Buckridge, Marilyn Austin, Anna Woodson, Emerson Muir, Eunice Smith, Rick, Rita, Rich, Al McMillan, John Fryer, Carol Jones, Monica, and Deb. Lord, you are our hope, you are our strength. We remember those who have come to the end of their earthly life, and those whose life feel bleak and empty without them. We pray for mercy and peace and comfort. Lord, you are our hope, you are our strength. Thank you for being there with us through all the dark and rocky places in our lives. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you.
Oh,
Let us pray. Eternal God, your word inspires our faith. May we who offer you our praise trust you in all things. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shared our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you. And so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and to give up his life on the cross, that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Now with all creation, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your Holy Church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we died with you on the cross.
Now we are raised to new life.
We were buried in your tomb.
Now we share in your resurrection.
Live in us, that we may live in you.
Thank you.
wish to receive just the bread or bread and wine, please come forward. If you wish to receive a blessing, please cross your hands on your chest and you will be given one. And if you wish to remain in your seats and just enjoy the music, please do so. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of peace, you have nourished us in this sacrament with the body and blood of Christ. May we who have taken holy things keep faith in our hearts and lives. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. May the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen.
To love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.